morning, Relevant Church. You didn't expect to see me in this, did you? Such a surprise. If you're here for the first time this morning, I'm really sorry about what you just saw. But the people you're sitting by, your regulars by you, would tell you that every once in a while, very rare occasions that I refer to Chick-fil-A in my messages, very rare, maybe, you know, once every couple of years. So I thought, you know, what a better way to illustrate being the last guy in the elder series than to be back end of the cow, back into the Chick-fil-A cow. I've always wanted to be the Chick-fil-A cow. Well, as you can see here, that wasn't the really authentic Chick-fil-A cow. I tried to get the authentic Chick-fil-A cow, but as you know, if you're a Chick-fil-A person, you know Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday. We've had lots of hard Sundays when you just got, oh, I got to have Chick-fil-A, but it's not open. Well, they have a strict policy that the cow can't make any appearances on Sunday either. So I wasn't able to get the authentic Chick-fil-A cow. That was a little cheap knockoff, but you get the point that I'm the back end of the cow here this morning. Our elders have done an awesome job bringing words of wisdom to us these past 4 weeks. Justin kicked us off 4 weeks ago. He talked about that God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for surrendered hearts. That's what he can work with. Scott took us back to the 80s, told us about his cruising habits, and this truth that transformation doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional about taking next steps. And Jamie, very transparent, took us inside his story from a divided, unwhole mess of a life to a life of integrity that brings wholeness and healing. And then last week, Mitch challenged us to be the salt and light that Jesus says we already are. And apparently, some of us elders had sort of a uniform going for this series. We didn't plan this, just sort of happened. Black shirt, light pants. So I think we need to play a quick game of who wore it best. What do you think? You guys ready for this? Hey, Drew, I need you up here fast. I got my buddy Drew. Hustle up here, Drew. Come on. All right. So first of all, Mitch gets an award for being the elder with the closest match to the background. Look at that. He's just like a head and arms up there. Does he even have a body? So he wins some stuff. But let's see who wore it best. I saw Drew this morning. I'm like, Drew, we are basically the same person. I mean, look at me. Look at Drew. Would you guys like, oh, is that Andy or Drew? I don't know. Couple of good-looking guys. Yeah. Thank you. We're basically twins. No, don't leave.
Don't leave.
No, I need you. I need you. I need you to help me wear it best. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, Scott launched the fit. Here we go. Oh, okay. All those for Scott? Nah, okay, good. Okay, yeah, good. Good job. All right. Then Jamie, the next week. Oh, here we go. Any Jamie backers out there? Yeah, okay, great. Good. And then we have this week, me and Drew, the ultimate drip.
Yeah, here we go.
Ultimate drip, me and Drew. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nice job. You guys, if you get us confused later, I understand. I get it. No, seriously, though, these elders, I'm so privileged to serve with these guys. These are very good men. They love Jesus. They love their families incredibly well. And they love you. So shout out to my guys. Awesome job the last few weeks. Okay. Now, for the back end of this Chick-fil-A cow, and here's the great thing. There's still some really good meat on the back end of the cow. You know what I mean? That's where you find the filet mignon, the T-bone. So, I know, somebody's already hungry. So, we got some good meat still on the back of the cow. So, here we go. Let's get into it. I'm calling this message this morning, Purpose in the Pivotal, Part 4. Last year, I did a three-part series called Purpose in the Pivotal. And I talked about finding God's purposes in the pivotal circumstances of your life. If you're around for that series, I told you about a pivotal circumstance in my life when I was surprisingly laid off at 60-ish years old, not very long ago, and what God taught me walking through that. I know some of you are still in shock to hear that I was there. You thought I was in my late 40s, but I'm not. And we discussed how pivotal circumstances are a normal part of life for every one of us. It's the medical diagnosis you didn't see coming, the financial crisis you never anticipated. He's gone. She's out. There's that big decision looming, that death, someone close to you that's rocking your world. There were job cuts, and you're one of them. You're watching one of your kids drive off a cliff, and you feel powerless to stop it. These are massive turning points for us, and they're going to take us one way or the other. That's why we call them pivotal circumstances. And you're either in the big middle of one right now, you're just coming out of one, or one's right around the corner. It's the way it works. Jesus told us that's how life works. In this world, you will have trouble, he told us. It's true. I talk to enough of you. I hear enough through our elder prayer outreach, just people that I'm talking to my buddy this morning as he's coming in, to know that a lot of us are in it this morning. We're right smack dab sitting in the middle of a pivotal circumstance as we speak. So today, I want to tell you about a pivotal circumstance that I'm in the middle of right now, and two big discoveries that God's been unearthing for me. It's been really cool. Two things I believe he offers every one of us in every pivotal circumstance. They'll help you in the one you're in, or they'll get you ready for the next one, because it's coming, guaranteed. A few months back, we did a series on the fruit of the Spirit, that Scripture calls it. It's these character qualities that God wants to build into our life when we're following Jesus. And I told you how God was growing the fruit of faithfulness in me at work. Because I told you then, and it's still true now, a few months later, I want to retire bad, y'all. Bad. I want to retire. I'm so ready. So bad. How bad do you want to retire? You might ask. Well, so bad that right after that message, I started a countdown to retirement on Post-it notes. Here it is. Check it out. I was down to 97 weeks. I'm counting it off. These are actually on my desk. Crossing them off 1 week at a time, two posts, a very high-tech tracking system that I have. Well, then we met with our financial planner to assess how ready we are for retirement. This was our first meeting with a financial planner about this in our late 40s. Quick tip for you. This is free. That meeting with a financial person is free. And you should not wait until you're where we were to have this meeting. Learn from our mistake. Because our guy gave us the bad news. You're going to need more Post-its. You're going to need a few more Post-its to do the things we want to do in retirement. And, you know, he says people actually spend more in retirement than before they retire. I thought, oh, you know, we just won't spend as much. He's like, no, you actually spend more. He said, I need to work 2 or 3 years longer than I had planned. So my 97 weeks just became 250 or so. So you notice that I stopped counting. In fact, those Post-it notes are now gone from my desk because I've got a new reality. But yeah, I know that in a life of 90 to 100 years, that, you know, what's three more? What's the big deal? But when you've been working since you were 12, and you've been dreaming about RVing the country with your beautiful wife and spending massive time with your amazing grandkids, 250 weeks sounds like forever to me. And I have to be honest with you, that news sucked the joy right out of my soul. Just sucked it dry. I was devastated. When we met with our guy, he could even tell just the look on my face, like he had just hit me with a baseball bat. I was pretty depressed for a while after that day. Just the joy was gone. But that's how pivotal circumstances hit. They're gut punches. They're punches to the face. They're kicks to the shin. And then it got worse. My joy was gone. Some cuts started coming in my department at work. And my whole group is now being evaluated for where it lands in the future. So the jury's still out on what any of that means. It's probably going to be a month or two before we know anything. But for me, I'm sitting here at 60-ish years old with 3 or 4 more years of work somewhere staring me in the face. So now I'm not just working longer. I might be job hunting at 65 in order to do it. Well, this is why we call them pivotal circumstances. Because when these pivotals hit, we have a choice. Every one of us has a choice every time. Am I going to pivot toward God, walk through this with Him, find out what He has for me, or am I going to pivot away from God and white-knuckle my way through this? We have a choice. A friend of mine was a teenager when both of her parents were killed in a car wreck, and she tells the story that in that gut-wrenching, pivotal moment, she heard God whisper to her, "This has happened to you, and you have to walk through it. You must walk through it. You can walk through it with me or without me." Now, I'm not comparing my post-it note situation to that. It's nothing close. But I'm telling you, that's the same choice standing in front of all of us when the pivotal hits. Walk through it with God or walk through it without Him. Well, I've been through this enough times to know that my answer is pretty quick on that one. Where else am I going to go but to God for my companion through the pivotal? So I pivoted toward God and I leaned heavy into Him when that news came and that joy was just sucked out of me. I was like, I know I've got to pivot toward God and walk through this with Him. That's the only place I want to go. So I leaned on my times of solitude with God, prayer, being in His presence, like Misty was talking about this morning, reading scripture, journaling, lots of journaling, just telling God what I was going through with all this. I've told you about my times of solitude before. Bagel Monday, great one. Chick-fil-A Wednesday, Donut Friday, Cedar Creek Sunday. Hey, solitude goes best with food. It's just a fact. It's true. So my time with God ramped way up because it had to. I had to connect with God, lean into Him on this. And that's the first thing I rediscovered. In every pivotal circumstance, if we'll take it, God wants to take us deeper with Him. Every time. That's what God is waiting to do if we'll take it. With every pivotal that hits, God gives us the opportunity to go deeper in our trust in Him, go deeper in our faith in Him, in our relationship with Him, our connection with Him. In every pivotal circumstance, God is there and He's only 3 words away. I need you. I need you right now. That's it. That's the whole thing. I've watched this be true in every pivotal circumstance I've ever walked through. And at this point, as the longest tenured elder, as Ronnie said, I think that just means I'm the oldest. No, actually, I'm the next to oldest. Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it. I've walked through plenty of pivotal circumstances, and I've seen God do this over and over and over again. Jesus is standing at the door knocking in every single one of these pivotal circumstances saying, "I'm here. I'm here. And you have the opportunity to trust me more. Will you take it? You have a chance to deepen your faith, deepen your love for me. What's it going to be in your pivotal circumstance?" One of the writers of Scripture, Paul the Apostle, wrote a bunch of our New Testament. He figured this out in his own pivotal circumstance. He was sitting in a prison cell where he writes to this church in Philippi, was the name of the city, modern-day Greece. And Paul tells them, "I've accomplished so much with my life. I have all the credentials of a very religious person. I was the most fiercely religious person you'll ever meet." But here's what he says. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special about me, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. You ever feel that in the middle of a pivotal circumstance? You're like, man, everything is gone. It feels like. But Paul goes on, he says, even though I'm there in that place, and some of you are there in that place, he says, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's insignificant. I think he even says dog dung. That's a modern translation of that. First account of dog poop being used in Scripture. There it is. He said, I've dumped it all in the trash so I can embrace Christ and be embraced by him. All that stuff that was so important, the most important thing for me right now in this pivotal circumstance is I got to know Jesus through this. I got to know him better. That's the first opportunity God offers us in pivotal circumstances, if we'll take it. Him. He offers himself. Knowing him better. Walking closer. Trusting more. Going deeper. It's there every time, every pivotal circumstance. And you may be thinking this morning, well, you know, that's fine for you, but I'm the reason that I'm in the mess I'm in. You know, I created this. Why would God want to walk with me through it? Why would he offer to be by my side through this pivotal circumstance that I created? You need to hear me. You are never too far gone for God to walk into your pivotal circumstance with you. You're never too far gone. He's still three words away. I need you. I need a forgiver for the mess I've gotten myself into to bring me back together with God, and I need a leader to take me through it. Talk about that more in a minute. That's the first big rediscovery I had, is that every pivotal circumstance, God gives us the opportunity to go deeper with him. The second discovery, and this is a new one for me, it took me 60 plus years to get there, so you get it a lot sooner than me today. In our pivotal circumstances, every one of them, God wants to change us for what's next. He wants to change us for what's next. When this circumstance hit me, I wanted to learn more from Paul through his pivotal circumstance. So I started praying and reading and journaling through that book of Philippians that I just read that verse from, with one question written at the top of my journal every morning. God, what's next for me? Things are sort of in limbo right now. I don't know what's coming. So I wanted to know from God. God, what's next for me? Top of my journal every morning. I've done this before. Ask God a big question and then dig into Scripture to see what he says. I'd recommend it as a starting point for your pivotal circumstance. Just give God your big question. Hey, God, what's up? What's next? I don't know. What do I need to know? Interestingly enough, God has never directly answered my question. He's never written in the margins, here's your next job. You know, as I'm reading Philippians, I didn't get any, oh, here's what's happening next. But he always gives me the answer that he wants me to have, and he did it again this time. I didn't even get out of Paul's greeting in the letter before it started, because Paul opens the letter like this. This is a letter from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm like, slaves of Jesus? That's how he introduces himself. What's that all about? Let's keep going. Then he tells these followers of Jesus things like, I pray your love will overflow more and more. I pray you'll keep growing in knowledge and understanding. I want you to understand what really matters. This is what Paul is teaching these people in his pivotal circumstance. I want you filled with the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. And it was like God was, man, he was speaking to me through this. Not one of those statements is about their circumstances changing or his circumstances changing. Every single one is about who they're becoming. It's about you need to become something in the middle of this. And then he makes one of my favorite proclamations in the entire Bible. I love this. It's from the Message version of this verse. There's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. That's our unfinished scripture. If you guys have been around for unfinished initiative we're doing. But it's talking about God's unfinished but always on work in you and me. I'm certain that God started a good work in you when he said, hey, come follow me. He started a good work. The fact that you're here means God's starting something in you. And it got very clear very fast to me. God was not answering my question about my next job. He didn't answer it like that. God was not telling me what's going to happen with my retirement plan. That would have been great, but he didn't. God was telling me, this is about what I am becoming in the middle of this. He knows what's coming. I don't. He knows what I need to be for it. I don't. So this is my discovery that he wants to change me for what's next. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. God is so committed to me and so committed to this good work he started that he says, I'm going to change you for what's next. You need to be transformed for what's coming. You don't know what it is. Most of you sitting here today in pivotal circumstances, you don't know what's next. You don't know how this is going to play out. You don't know where you're going with this. But God does. And he said, I'm going to change you for what's next. I know what's coming. So he changed my question from, God, what's next for me? To, God, what do you want to do in me? Who do you want me to be for what's next? Whatever it is. And right in the middle of that discovery, I ran into this verse from Paul. He's writing to this church again. He says, it's a guy writing from prison, remember. He says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in God, no matter what happens. Remember what this news did to me. It drained every drop of joy I had. My wife could tell you, man, he was not a happy guy to be around. The joy was gone. And the morning I read that verse, whatever happens, find your joy in God. The morning I read that, God said to me, as clearly as I've ever heard him, that's how I want to change you for what's next. That's how I want to change you. Whatever happens with the job, whatever happens with the retirement, I want to make you a person of joy for whatever comes next. That whatever's there, you're going to be full of my joy. I want to fill you with the joy of knowing me and walking with me and being a child of mine. Whatever happens with the job and the retirement. Incredible. So grateful to God. So now I'm building a completely different perspective on this thing. When depression or despair or sadness come to steal my joy, I still don't know what's next. But with this perspective, it matters a whole lot less. Find my joy in being God's. Find my joy in God is walking right alongside me. So if it's time to launch my Chick-fil-A greeter career, great. If I'm headed to a Home Depot orange apron, awesome. So be it. Whatever happens, I'm going to be walking along, working hard with God to find my joy in him and in being his child. When I told my friend Scott about all this, he put it in great perspective for me when he said, yeah, so whatever happens, you win. Whatever happens, you win. You're a child of the King. He's walking right alongside you, and he's changing you into a person of joy. Whatever happens, you win. Now, I don't want to pretend that this is always easy. It's not. True transformation and change, changing us for what's next, is rarely easy all day, every day. There are conversations that I have about my job or about my retirement that threatened to steal that joy away again. I feel it being sucked out of there. There are thoughts I get about my job every day. I was telling my wife, Lori, just the other day, I've got to sort of battle this some days because these things just come up that threaten to rip my joy away again. But I keep going back to God and affirming that whatever happens, He's there right alongside me, and I can find my joy in Him. And I ask Him again, God, fill me with Your joy. When this anxiety comes in, when this worry comes in, when this stress comes in, this sadness comes in. And He does it. He does it. That's what's there to take it if you want to take it. Get you ready for what's next. Change you for what's next. I've been testing these two new discoveries about pivotal circumstances with some people, and I keep running into the same answer. My daughter-in-law, Bailey, walked a year of pain and questioning after her miscarriage. And she was telling me when we were just there to see her recently that God is changing her from a normally very anxious person to a person of peace as baby number two is on the way in January. She normally would be just so filled with anxiety about this. God's changing her for what's next into a person of peace. My friend Brandon is living this out right now, seeing God move him from a crippling addiction when he started leaning heavy into God and said, I got to walk alongside you with this. He's seeing God change him into a life of sobriety, even more importantly, new life, person with deep and real purpose. He says, I have a purpose now. God's giving me a purpose coming out of this pivotal circumstance. It took me 60 plus years to nail down these two simple, profound truths, and you can have them this morning. In your relational mess, in your financial crisis, in your health emergency, in whatever landed on you last week that you haven't even been able to tell anybody about yet, God wants to take you deeper with Him, and He wants to change you for what's next. The God of the universe has a plan to transform you and get you ready for what's coming, if you'll take it. So here's the only question that matters this morning, not what's going to happen or why is this happening to me. You don't get those answered today. But the question is, are you walking through this with God or without Him? Have you invited Jesus into your pivotal circumstance? Maybe you're here this morning and you never knew you could pull God in the middle of the hardest thing in your life. You didn't know this was available, but now you do. You need to know He's there for you, and He's just those three words away. I need you. In just a minute, we're going to pray together. If that's you, if you've never put your faith in Jesus and you'd say, man, this sounds like something I can't pass up. I want it. I need somebody to get me through this. In just a minute, we're going to pray, and you can just tell Jesus, I'm putting my faith in You because Your death on the cross provided everything I need to be forgiven and brought back together with God after my sin had separated us. Be my forgiver. And I want You to be the leader of my life from here on out because I clearly need one. I clearly need You to lead me out of this and into what's next. And followers of Jesus, those of you who have put your faith in Jesus, who are in the pivotal, or there's one waiting for you, it's around the corner, take the opportunity to pivot again toward God. Lean heavy into Him. And take the opportunity He's giving you to change you for what's next. Ask Him, God, what do You want to do in me for what's next? You know what's coming. What do You want me to be? Ask Him to do it, and I believe He will. God, I need You. Let's pray together. God, I just want to say, first of all, we are super grateful that You're not a God that's far off, that's distant, that watches us go through our pivotal circumstances and go, oh, too bad. No, you're a God that's right there. All we have to say is, God, I need You. Can't go through this by myself. I don't want to go through this by myself. God, thank You for being that kind of God. Thank You for being the kind of God that wants to change us for what's next. You know what's coming. Thank you for that. God, I pray for the people here in the room this morning that would say, I've never put my faith in Jesus, but man, I'm ready right now. God, give them the courage to just call out to you and say, I need you. I need you to be the forgiver of my sins, and I want you to be the leader of my life from here on out. Give them the courage to do that right now, God. Father, for the followers of Jesus in the room, I know there's a lot of them right in the big middle of pivotal circumstances. And if not, there's one right around the corner. God, reaffirm for them again, strengthen them again to lean heavy into you, to walk alongside you with this, pivot toward you. And God, to look for how you want to change them for what's next. God, do that for them. Thank you for loving us. So grateful. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.